Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Feta Tapender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft, my name is the mighty, the almighty Rab Florence. And I am, of course, joined by the all-shitey Grado. I'm only joking, mate. If anything, I'm the all-shitey one. You're the almighty one, mate. You're brilliant. And it's a very special episode because on this episode of Wrestling Daft, on our list of Wrestling Daft, it is going to be about, Grado, I'm going to announce this to you, and I know it's not usually the spot where we announce this, but I have to tell you up front, it's the top three TNA pay-per-views.
Yes. Very, very excited about discussing my favourite TNA pay-per-views.
Have you done your top three?
I've got them in my head.
Beautiful. Monster's Ball, number one.
What?
Monster's Ball, number one.
I mean, don't spoil it. But I do want to clear up that I was listening to Jeff Jarrett podcast, right?
Great podcast.
Yeah, the Ask Jeff Anything episode. And one of the questions was about the Wrestling Channel on Sky in 2004. Mm-hmm. And Jeff started talking about it and he went, that's how Grado got into TNA, was through that. And I was driving to Raid and I was like, that's bollocks, that wasn't how I go into TNA. Because I'm sure I was the first ever person in the UK to watch a TNA show. Because it aired on the Wednesday and I had it by the following week on tape along with Best of the Best 2. I got it shipped to it every other week. So it wasn't 2004. I'd already had watched 2 years of it. All right? So just got to clear it up.
Right. I see when you said that's how Grado get into TNA, I thought you were meaning get into it as in somebody for TNA saw you on the Wrestling Channel and got you into TNA off the back of that.
No.
I didn't think he meant that's how you get into enjoying TNA.
That's what he meant. Do you remember the Wrestling Channel?
I do remember it. I remember the presenters were the biggest bunch of fucking weirdos.
Every single one
of the presenters on the Wrestling Channel, you felt like you could open the paper on a Monday and they'd get done for some fucking terrible crimes.
But remember there was that one guy...
Computers have been seized. The Wrestling Channel's computers have all been seized. The Wrestling Channel was the worst of wrestling fans. Who were the presenters, Grado?
Remember there was the one guy, the Bagpipe Report. Remember that?
No, what was that?
It was like a Canadian guy with red hair. And his show was called The Bagpipe Report. And he
was it an Alex? It was Alex Shane thing, right? Was he not behind it somewhere?
No, there was another guy involved. It was a guy in Ireland who ended up. Did Alex Shane not get involved? He might have. I would imagine he did, but it was a guy in Ireland. I remember we were fighting on UKFF about 10 years. Well, no, 10 years ago, but 5-6 years ago, he was slagging me on UKFF. We went back and forth. But it was, weird, you know, turning on your Sky and then like going through the TV guide and they would say like RF video with shoot interview with Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. Like that's what they had.
Who was the weird guy in the suit? Remember there was a kind of skinny weird guy in a suit who was one of the presenters?
I don't remember. And I've maybe got one guy in my head but I don't really want to name him in case that's who you're talking about. I feel bad for him because that's not nice.
Is he a wee soul?
Oh, they're all wee souls.
We are, aren't they? We are souls. Oh, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Wrestling Channel, TWC. Crap. Absolute crap. And, you know, but it was a thing. It was something, wasn't it?
But it annoyed me. You ever, you know, you get like that. It's like, so see how, you know, I was the guy at school and all that was getting the CCW and the TNA videos and the shoot interviews, and then for it to just turn up on Sky, it was annoying. It was like no, no, you just can't watch that. It was a bit like Billy Gilmer, when Billy, you know, because I've known Billy Gilmer for he was a wee boy, and then the next minute Andy Murray's gone, Billy Gilmer's my hero, and I'm like, fuck off, mate. No, he's my pal. You know what I mean? I'm pathetic that way. Yeah.
It's like you were an EM thing, mate. Lewis Capaldi, remember? Way before he got famous. I love this boy. This boy, Lewis Capaldi. I love him. No. We were all like, what are you talking about? This guy's only 12. How can you be into him now?
I was into Lewis Capaldi when he was 12.
When he was at school. And then he blew up, and you were like, I don't mean blew up physically, he did that and all, but then he blew up, got famous, and you felt left out.
Do you know that me and Norm Dar were drinking in Glasgow a couple of weeks ago, and he drove by in his G-Wagon and waved at Noam.
What's a G-Wagon?
I think it's a Mercedes motor. It's a big fancy Mercedes motor. And then Noam was like, do you want to text him, see if he wants to come for a couple of pints? And I was like, no.
Did you have his phone number?
No, Noam, they follow each other on Twitter.
He's a listener to remember young Billy from got a video with him. He picked up wrestling. Daft Lewis Capaldi. He's a big fan of the wrestling.
He's never heard that wrestling.
Well, though. I thought I've only met him once, and it was at the Sunday Mail Awards, and this was right before he kicked off. Mm-hmm. And he went, and I went, oh, you got to be brilliant. You got to be big news boy. I tell you, you got to be a big news boy. And he says, I was a fan of your work in TNA. That's what he said. And I thought he was taking a piss out of me.
Wow.
Listen, he's a good egg by all accounts, I'll tell you that much.
Definitely.
Everybody says
I'm sure he unfollowed me on Twitter.
Maybe we should ask him what his favourite TNA pay-per-view was.
Listen, Grado, what's the first thing people do when they get famous? They go, I'm not following Grado anymore.
Do you know what? I mean, I'm sure he did unfollow me. And then, of course, I unfollowed him. And it's pathetic, isn't it?
Okay, let's move on.
That's a good wee bit of chat. I like that, real talk.
That was real stuff, wasn't it? That was real stuff. Let's see what the punters are saying. So Sean, one of our listeners, got in touch. And this is inspired by you, Grado, and your good lady, expecting a wee girl. He says, myself and my missus are expecting a third girl in November also. Congratulations, mate. Best thing in the world, having daughters. And he says, Grado and wrestling actually helped me cope with my brother's death in a way. Six months after his stag do, which you guys shared. I think I remember talking about a stag do on this. His brother died in a car accident. So when discussing his funeral, we decided he'd be carried into glorious, fucking amazing entrance.
Wow.
Theme. I love that entrance theme. He says, me and my pals had a load of memories that had wrestling involved, whether attending or actually wrestling with each other. Anyway, where Grado helped is, this is where you helped, Grado. We had his wake at the Summerhill Hotel in Aberdeen. And the next time I was there for the wrestling, it was just a wee bit daunting thinking about the last time he was in there. But as soon as it started, he forgot and just enjoyed his cell. And he met you, Grado. So that was even better. He says, we also use Like a Prayer for walk-on music and charity football game that he did for his brother as well. Oh, and I also, we hear this, put a figure of Billy Gunn that he used as his created guy when we were kids. Put that Billy Gunn figure in when he was laid to rest, just as a memory of a wrestling-filled childhood. That's sad, isn't it? And beautiful, a beautiful thing.
Mate, that's hey, actually...
Billy Gunn would be proud of that, do you think so? I would be proud of that if I was a wrestler, do you know what I mean?
Wow. Honestly, that's actually got me a wee bit emotional there about that. That's, well, you know what? I even don't know what to say there. That's actually kind of got me stuck for words, to be honest with you. Wow. Well, honestly, it kind of makes my day hearing that, you know, sometimes you can make somebody else feel a wee bit better about their life.
Here's a hang in it as well. This is, you know, the thing you try to explain to people why you love wrestling. We all have these kind of shared memories in our childhood about wrestling, you know what I mean? And like wee things we can just say to each other, or we, you know, it's just nice seeing that kind of thing. So really sorry to hear that. Obviously terrible stuff. But amazing that you've got something spectacular to look forward to with your third wee lassie coming along. It's amazing.
Oh, I forgot about that at the start. But anyway, Sean, thanks for sending that message in, man, because it kind of makes my day hearing stuff like that, hearing that you've helped somebody. And Summerhill Hotel, man. The thing about the Summerhill Hotel in Aberdeen, man, they kent all the, they knew all the storylines, all the wrestlers on, they knew everything. And that was the place where that was the place where I wrestled after I'd been on River City. And the crowd were going, but like, they were going, let's go, Buster. Let's go, Buster. they love River City up there. But anyway, all the best, Sean. And mind and let us know when you're you have your third girl.
Do you think Aberdonians love River City because they wish they were Glaswegians?
There's something about it. I don't know whether it's member Roisin.
Yeah, aye, I know. But do you know, I think Aberdonians probably wish they were for Glasgow. I think that's what it is. That's a River City thing. Because you know how they kind of, Aberdonians kind of wish that Aberdeen were Rangers? You know, is that thing like Aberdonians are kind of Rangers fans?
Aye.
But, you know. I know what you mean. Jim Thompson get in touch and says, last week a guy wanted to rename Rab with Tony Stan because I'm a Tony Khan fan. Tony Stan. Surely a better name and a Burniston nod would be a Wan Can Dan man. I like that. Well, Jen says, I was camping and thanks to Rab on the wonderful podcast Wrestling Daft, I'm annoying all my neighbours singing, there's only one Tony Khan. That was last week, Grado.
Were you singing that?
It was a big Tony Khan episode last week. Thomas says, somebody just put in the group chat, are you kidding me on? And I've been laughing for the last 5 minutes. See episode 4 to get that joke, of course.
Are you kidding me on?
You kidding me on? Are you kidding me on? More wrestling in Scottish football. Stephen flags up the fact that former Portuguese Celtic striker, oh God, man. No, Cadet doesn't look like Kenny Omi. No, he doesn't. Because he's got curly hair. Saying that, Celtic player Cadet looks like Kenny Omega, he doesn't he?
Any mate, I think he does a wee bit.
No, he doesn't he? Yeah, I think he does. Any he other looks like, nah.
He looks, he also looks like, what do you call him that was in the WWF in the early 90s? With a big curly hair. Who was that again? Big muscly geezer.
Carlito.
What, who?
No, Carlito, no.
No.
No, mate.
No.
George, you ruined that.
Rick Martel.
No.
Oh, for God's sake. Right, moving on. Any other footballers that look like wrestlers, Grado? Nah, there's fucking new footballers that look like wrestlers. Footballers are all skinny.
No, bastards. But do you know what? Nacho Novo always used to remind me of Rey Mysterio.
Aye, because he needs to wear a fucking mask. Karate Warrior 2 says Rab is 100% right about Lashley. The dude just looks too nice a guy to be a heel. Maybe some shite facial hair or ugly crazy hairstyle can do the trick. Very funny. Darren here, Wrestling Daft, listening to the show. After you found it, Cena follows Queen of the South. It reminds me of a belter I came across, says Darren. Regarding big match, John, he had a love for the Portobello pencil sharpener. Can't find the account anywhere, but here's your proof. The man loves a good sharpener. And indeed, there's a picture here of the Portobello pencil sharpener, the public pencil sharpener in Portobello, followed by John Cena.
But listen, come on. John Cena downloaded an app on his phone. He follows 308,400 folk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's just a random.
He probably follows the Buffs.
It's a random selection of people. He follows Savile. He follows Paul Gadd.
Aye.
If you spot any wrestlers following strange things on Twitter, though, please do keep us informed because John loves that shit.
I do.
John thinks that's good shit. John,
have you seen the Portobello pencil sharpener as a thing?
I'd need to stick my wally in that. I couldn't walk by that without trying to push my wally inside it. I know my wally wouldn't fit in it, but I'd try. Sean suggests we change our Margaret Erafine t-shirt to Erafine sacked Margaret. Well, Toby's gutted as he just got his Margaret Erafine t-shirt just last week.
Fuck, that doesn't matter.
But they're still available. They're collector's items. New shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Collector's item. This is the final run of them, by the way. So buy them before they sell out. Now's the time to get your Margaret Erafine t-shirt.
You know what? It might be a good thing that Bray Wyatt does is, obviously, I get a couple of weeks before he's got his own pro wrestling tee store. Or maybe a good idea to maybe sell his own through there.
Now, Grado. Okay, real talk. I know, and John knows, and we all know that Grado knows the inside story about Bray Wyatt's release.
I actually don't.
And this is, no, here he goes. He's saying he doesn't, but I can tell you that while we were off air, before this show started, Grado expressed the fact that he knew what was going on, And it's our time now to say to him, look, you might as well just share the news, Gredo, because this could make us the top podcast in the world.
No.
See, this is the thing. Gredo's one of the boys.
Yeah.
So he can't do that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was talking to Matt Hardy there just before we came on, but that was...
Can we just pause the podcast here, right?
Right. And I'll tell you...
An edit point here, John, and Gredo is now going to tell us what's going on with Bray Wyatt, okay? Right. So I want you just to imagine what this might be like, because you're only going to get to hear it. I'm sorry. Gredo's telling us because he's one of the boys, and in a sense, me and John are one of the boys as well. That makes sense, actually, doesn't it? Anyway, right, sorry.
Wait till that comes out. Wait till that comes out. Right, Duck cheats will be all over that.
John.
Sorry.
Shush, John.
I don't want the marks hearing about it. Shush, John. All these strobs out here hearing that, but right.
Go get my...
Listen, you're one of the boys. The people listening to this show will never know the inner workings. It's as simple as that. Right, now, Ian Drew Dice Clay reached out. Turns out he wasn't kayfabing us, by the way. He just didn't get the message about coming on the show. Fingers crossed one of these days we can get him booked. We need to get the big man in. He is one of the most entertaining contributors to the discourse on wrestling in this country online, without a doubt. Anyway, he says he found this history-making moment while sorting through some old cassettes. It's a 13-year-old Gredo calling into Talk Wrestling with Alex Shane on Talk Sport to ask him about British wrestling. What year is?
Have we not played these before?
Nope.
Well, let's go to Graham. He's called the show from Ayrshire. Hi, Graham. You're on Talk Sport. Nikita, Alex Shane, and Tommy here.
It's about the British wrestling scene. When I listen to Talk Sport and you talk about Harrow High School and FWA, and since I live in Scotland, it doesn't really come up to Scotland. The only thing that does is BWF, which I went a couple of times and it's pretty disappointing.
So, is that the counterfeit shows or the fakes and everything?
Yeah, it's the ones that get kid on the Stone Cold and Kane, which is pathetic.
They're actually getting sued at the moment, I heard. Yeah. But without getting live,
I will put that to one side.
I will tell you that.
Can you pause that there, right? Can you pause that there right now and tell you the backstory of this wee bit here, right? Right, so this is fucking brilliant, right? You're going to love this, right? So I phoned this every week, right? And you would be on the queue for like 20, 30 minutes, right? And I'd done this for about 6 months solid. Eventually, my gran gets her phone bill in, right? And she gives, and then the list is like fucking massive, right? I've wasted like, you know, £60 on calls to talk sport. And for an old woman, right, my gran was gone mental. And she warned me, no to phone that talk sport. Stop phoning that talk sport. Stop phoning it. You're running up my phone bill. Of course, I couldn't get enough of it, right? So this particular night, I can't believe he's found this one. This is amazing, right? So this night, I thought, fuck it. So I goes away and hides in her room. It's a Saturday night. My gran's looking after me. And I thought, I'm going to sneaky up and phone this. I'm going to date and sneak, right? And so I'm so nervous in case my gran walks in and catches me. So I'm on hold for about 20 minutes, of course. I come on, right? I start talking. And see if you just rewind back, maybe, John, about... Go back a wee bit. Go back. Keep going. Keep... Right. I tip it there, right? Okay. Listen closely. My gran walks in, right? And she starts... gone mad at me, and I'm going get out, you know, I'm kind of voicing get out, and you can hear it in the background going no. Right, listen.
Where?
Right, listen.
Here you go.
Yeah, it's the ones that get kid on the Stone Cold and Kane, which is pathetic.
They're actually getting sued at the moment, I heard. Yeah. But without getting live,
I will put that to one side.
I will tell you that there is a Scottish Championship Wrestling has come on. I'm going to be appearing on the show. Now, they're going to hate me for a total spot and play. I think it's February the 6th. I may be wrong. But... as for the website address, I had all this written down. It's in my bag. So what I say, if you go to...
Get out of here again, mate.
actually getting sued at the moment, I heard. Yeah. But without getting libel, I will
put that to one side.
I will tell you that there is a that Scottish Championship Wrestling as a company. I'm going to be appearing on the show now. They're going to have
oh man. Also, so Alex Shane starts messaging. Wrong. This is such a kind of mental phone call as well, because this is how I go into wrestling. So. Aye. So Alex Shane starts talking about Scottish Championship Wrestling, which I had never heard at the time. And so then I googled it and I messaged the guy, Kenny Morrison, and I says, look, I want to get involved in the wrestling business. I was 13, 14. And he said, look, just too young. He says, even for putting up the ring, you're still too young to put up the ring. He says, but come along to the show and you can meet all the wrestlers after the show. And I went to the show. That was Drew Galloway's first ever match. He wrestled Conscience. I'd done a report on WrestleZone.com for it. And he took me backstage. And the promoter. And I met Iceman. I met Drew. I met Magic. I met Adam. Adam Shea wasn't there. And then that's when I came, sort of kind of made contacts. And that's basically how I got started in wrestling. So it was through that phone call.
Wow.
There you go. I mean, that was great. I loved it. I'm going to be honest. But also, there's something else. After Grado's story about him interrupting Shawn Michaels' Hall of Fame speech, our friend Bronchello has actually tracked down the
clip. No way!
Yes, we have got the clip.
No way, man!
If Rab missed this, if you missed this last week, Rab, because this obviously had to tag out. Mm-hmm. Grado was talking, we're talking about Shawn Michaels, and Grado was at the Hall of Fame speech, and he remembered the point where he interrupted Shawn Michaels' Hall of Fame speech, and we have the evidence.
No way.
It. Here we go. It's quite spectacular.
This is brilliant.
I'm nervous, so don't give me any cat calls. I'm trying to.
What was it you were shouting?
I can't remember. I think
if you want to quit, I love you, Sean!
That was it.
Here it is.
Do it again.
I'm nervous, so don't give me
any
cat calls. I'm trying to.
Wow, man.
Wow.
And it shows you that they never made the show. How the hell did somebody find that?
It's our friend, obviously, Bronchello, that's come
he's
through
the best.
With the goods
he's
on
the
that.
Best, by the way, he bought a cameo for me, by the way, which I'm plugging right now, cameo.com/Grado.
Well, there you go. There you
that's
go.
Blew the last 5 minutes, that's brilliant, mate. This is I loved in this podcast. I love it.
If you want to get in touch with us about any of that, if you find any more audio clips of Grado or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us, wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week we separate the bad for the good in wrestling. The Macho Man Sandy Cabbage for the Macho Man Randy Savage.
I'm struggling.
John, I like that. That was good.
Like
that's
that,
merely the kind of thing I'm looking for, Macho Man Sandy that. Cabbage.
Right, more like that. I'll do more like that then.
Mm-hmm. Right, what we're burying and what we're putting over, because it's a big news week, isn't it?
Oh, you go first, because I've no watched fuck all.
Well, I want to put over... Right, okay. I'm going to put over Hangman Page's entrance. Did you see that? You're an entrance guy.
With the Dark Order?
Aye.
Loved it.
Oh, my God.
He's got great music.
Oh, my goodness. That entrance was goosebump stuff.
That Hail package was superb.
Oh,
come on.
I mean, Tony knows what he's doing. It just looked great, and he looks like a star. And of course, what I want to bury, though, is the rumours going about that plans might have changed for what's happening with Hangman Page and stuff. You know, anybody that's been keeping an eye on AEW knows that Hangman Page's journey has been, you know, one of the best things about it. Also, I put on Miro, whose promos every week are just dynamite, man. They're dynamite. Funny. And Miro has nailed this thing, which is really hard to do, of being funny and also you think he'd completely batter fuck at you as well. Right. And it's very hard to do that. It's very hard to be the funny guy who's also kind of scary. What else do I want to put over that's in AEW? I want to put over Jericho for this run that he's been having, this wee run of matches. It feels to me a wee bit like Jericho's on the road out.
Do you know what? Someone just saying this to me, it's really interesting. You know how he's doing this Labour's the kind of Jericho thing? Aye. It's like going through his career, right? So we've had the kind of ECW with the match against Gage. The luchador, I can't remember his name.
Juventud Guerrero.
Yeah, who's legendary luchador. So that's his kind of Mexico era, and they're kind of, they think it's like this is the eras of his career. I thought that's really, really interesting, that how they're doing it.
It is, and it's just been great to watch. It's been great to watch, and I thought in that match, see, I'll be honest, right? As great as I think Jericho is, see, when I saw that match advertised, and I thought Nick Gage is coming in, I was thinking this is not going to work. I don't think, you know what I mean? Particularly because
how was the match? I never saw it.
I thought, listen, they're not my cup of tea, they matches, right? But he totally held his own in that match. He looked comfortable in there, and you know, and it was that style of match. And respecting Nick Gage as well, by the way, because he obviously his thing is, you know, his whole thing is this kind of work shoot thing where he's like, this guy's crazy, man. This guy's crazy, the things he does know that. But he's not that crazy because that guy can come in and they can work a safe, you know, in deathmatch terms, a safe, solid professional wrestling match. You know what I mean? And do what needs done and put the guy over. You know, I think it was a great showing for him. I'll put him over as well because it just kind of proves that with all the talk and all the dark side of the ring stuff and all the thing about this guy's crazy and all that, guy's a professional wrestler. Came in and did the work. You know what I mean?
See, for years, I always never thought about it, but I well regret no wrestling him when I was meant to. I'd have loved the wee show at that. When I think about it now.
Did you shite it?
I kind of shited it, but it was nothing. But I never shat out it. I had to pull out it because I think it was Test Drive was filming and they wouldn't have budged on the dates, so I had to pull out. But do you know that way after that was gone? I kind of went
funny,
and then I saw
it. And then I pulled it because of that. It's funny, isn't it?
It's funny. Isn't it? You know,
the two things couldn't be further away from each other.
You know what I mean? But then you see the stuff with Arquette, and I'm going, man, I budged. That was a good wee. Thank fucking ever wrestled him, but see now I well regret it.
Well, this is exactly the thing though, because you know he does a match with Jericho and kept Jericho safe throughout and all that. You know what I mean? It's like, and it would have been the same with you probably. He'd have done it with you, and you I imagine you could say to that guy, "I'm a bit fucking feared," or "I'm a bit," you know what I mean? Will you look after him out there? And he'd have fucking looked after you, and he would have looked great.
He is intimidating, but
of course he's intimidating. That's his whole thing. But I just thought he did well, man. He did well. But, and
I mean, I remember I've been watching his matches for 20 years. I remember seeing him. He was in a tag team called The Hate Club with Nate Hatred in CCW. And they've always been fucking nuts. I think Nate Hatred died, but, and I'm sure he was in one of the Cage of Deaths. And he's been doing this for fucking years and years and years and years and years. But I wish I'd done that now. I really do.
Who would be a good, like, for this thing that Jericho's going through, what would be a good last kind of labour for him?
Well, so if we're going through the career of Jericho, right, he's going to have some sort of WWE. So do you think they put in the Big Show against them? Like, they were old tag team partners, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. I loved his match at One Night Stand with Lance Storm, and I like how
Lance
that was.
That's exactly, Grigel, you've not, Lance Storm, I bet he faces Lance Storm as best pal. That's a great shout.
Man, Storm. But I don't think he's ever going to gear up, man. He's half his nut. No, that he's half his nut, in a good way. I'm just watching some of the footage for this just now, man. I can't believe this was in telly. It's brilliant.
I've got a love, I think the TNT, you know what, too happy about it.
I just wish.
Who can that?
No, TNT. I think the network would have been too happy about it.
If I'm Vince McMahon, right, I've got a big set of balls on me. Kid on, I'm no fear at AEW and all that, right? I would go on the phone to Tony Khan if I'm Vince McMahon, right? And I would go, I see you're doing this Jericho's labels thing, you know. It's very good. And I know you need to do a WWE part of that, right? I would say, do you want Kevin Owens for one night? I would send Kevin Owens over for one night, because let me tell you, see, an AEW main event, Jericho versus Kevin Owens would be fucking dynamite, man.
You're right.
It would be brilliant in front of that crowd. It would be dynamite, man. And were you talking, obviously, that was late Jericho WWE career, but it was still a kind of highlight, I would say. You know what I mean? He's worked with Kevin Owens.
That was brilliant. It was brilliant.
So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Let's see what the punters are saying.
Can I give, sorry, but I don't know if you're burying people over, but I need to.
That's got to be a what? Sorry, that's got to be a what, man. That's fucking. I'm just watching the Domino's advert come up.
I don't know.
Yeah,
what
it's a total walk, man.
Do you think so? I think.
Oh,
well, but apparently they were raging, weren't they?
Domino's.
Domino's were raging.
Yeah, spokesperson from Domino's came out and totally distanced themselves from it. And
but that's been, you know, AEW have made that happen. I have no doubt in my mind, because that gag is fucking amazing, man.
It's very good.
For a Domino's advert to come up. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, these are the kind of production things that are happening now that you're just kind of going. For me, TNA never, for the offense, Grado, TNA never felt like even a competitor with WWE. And I know people are all going like that now. Oh, AEW on the competitor of WWE and all that, and AEW only this and AEW only that, and WWE's too big and WWE's a giant and all that, you know what I mean? Things change really fast, and when Vince is out the picture, whenever that is, WWE's in flux, WWE might get sold somewhere and stuff like that. All AEW needs to do is steady as she goes and continue with what they're doing the new, because the star power is increasing. The cool factor is starting to increase again after a wee lull that it had. So I don't know. I know certainly if I'm an investor, one of the WWE investors, I'm probably thinking to myself now, fuck man, I wish Tony Khan was in WWE.
You know, I don't even think that with TNA, see if you listen to We're All Pal, I don't think that TNA were never ever set out to be a contender with them, weren't they? They were happy, mate, doing their own thing. As you say, they made so much money out of the six-sided ring toy, the figures, the DVDs and stuff. I never actually thought that, apart from when Bischoff and Hogan come in and they went to challenge them on Monday nights, I never actually think they went out their way to try.
Which was kind of like it was almost like a storyline, like a work anyway, wasn't it, that challenge on Monday night?
So but you're right, but it's mental, but because you think if that was, it just shows you, but Nade, when you think about it, that's how big independent wrestlers go, or at least other stuff apart from WWE's go in the last 10 years, because, I mean, the absolute WWE actually fucking, they humped them in the ratings that night, didn't they? That 4th of January show, 2010. And aye. I thought, and me as a young wrestling fan, thinking, man, this will be good, man, I bet you TNA could beat them in the ratings here. But you just, I was so da thinking that, really.
Chance, but all you have to do with AEW, the difference is you look at them and you look at the tickets they're shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Live event tickets that they're shifting. And it's fucking crazy. You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
And that is crazy. It's pathetic.
It's pathetic.
And that means something. You know what I mean? That means something. It genuinely means something. Right, so let's see what the punters are saying. Let's see what the punters are saying. Let's see what the punters are saying. John, I'm counting you as a punter.
So Leighton Buzzard's fighting Andy Wildman at Fight Club and ICW. It's a 60-minute Iron Man match happening this weekend, which should be a belter because they're both very good workers. So Leighton Buzzard puts on Twitter, more talk, more work, 2 minutes pacing, 2 minutes sprint, 60 minutes, extra 5 minutes at the end for my victory celebration, bitch. Then, I'm assuming this is his girlfriend, I'll make sure he gets 60 minutes of cardio tonight as well on a quote tweet in the spear. Andy Wildman replies, good practice. He'll be on his back disappointed he didn't perform when I'm done with him too. Burn!
ICW paid you to do that?
No, they haven't paid me.
Because that sounded like it was just promo for this ICW match.
It did sound like promo for ICW, but I thought that is very good. It's
listen,
very,
very good. I've got That's a lot funny. Of friends at ICW. ICW are a very important, iconic wrestling company in British wrestling. I have to say, I've got no fucking interest in seeing a 60-minute Iron Man match in ICW.
But wait,
that's just me.
Right,
Hold on. That's just me.
Yeah.
But I have got no interest in an ICW 60-minute Iron Man match.
No, well, see, the thing is, it's going on. I love Andy Wild and I love Leighton Buzzard and I genuinely love them. I think they're brilliant. But I could, to be honest with you, I struggle to watch HBK and Bret Hart.
Yeah.
I actually, do you know what? No, do you know what? Good on them. Good on them.
I agree, good on them. But that's just, you know, I'm just being honest, and it wouldn't be fair if I wasn't being honest. And
the pair of them are beast, man. They're brilliant.
And I'm very, very happy to be proven wrong. In fact, I'm going to make a point of watching it. I'm going to make a point of watching it and seeing how it goes, but it's just, I just, you know, I'm like,
I think he was getting nice eyes. I'm just looking at him.
60-minute Iron Man match, really? That was my reaction when I saw it. 60-minute Iron Man match, really? That's
he is looking that. Good, man.
Who, Leighton?
Anyway.
Leighton's looking good. Andy Wilde's looking fucking tremendous, man.
Andy Wilde is looking absolutely like a unit, isn't he?
That progress picture for 5 years, man. Wow. I remember when he was fat. He looks amazing now.
Well, there you go. Let's see what the punters are saying. The Talking Roll Express wants to bury Vince sacking everybody and wants to put over Vince's master plan to strengthen AEW so he has some competition. Or is he really wanting to make things difficult for Triple H when he hands the keys? Or big conspiracy theory stuff happening there. Paul wants to put on Nick Gage having a great match last week with Zack Ryder, then going on to main event AEW with Chris Jericho. Both great matches. And wants to bury WWE letting go of Bray Wyatt. Oh, they fucked up so many times. Oh, thank God, the great matches we've missed. Chris wants to put over slightly behind the times, but Stephen on the run-in talking about his battles with leukemia was so interesting and informative, and the guy came across like an absolute hero. Agreed. The Dark Order versus the Elite Elimination 5-on-5 was brilliant, better than any Survivor Series match in years. Entertaining and progressed the storyline perfectly. There's only one Stoney Can. Big Easy wants to put her AEW cutting to the Domino's pizza advert after just seeing Nick Gage take a pizza cutter to Jericho's face. Was pissing myself at that. And wants to bury WWE still piping in the crowd noise. Did you see that somebody had noticed, I can't remember where I saw this, but somebody had noticed that the piped in crowd noise during Drew's entrance and one of the things still had a wee bit of sound of Michael Cole doing commentary in the background.
That was bizarre.
I mean, what the fuck are they doing? Craig wants to bury Bray Wyatt getting released. Louise wants to put everybody who took part at TNT Extreme Wrestling in Newcastle in the Women's Deathmatch Tournament. And Casey Owens and Moth Martina, who literally went through hell to win. Now, hold on a minute. They literally went through hell. They literally went through hell. I don't think so. Kenny wants to bury Vinnie Mac, dead or alive at this stage. It's not very nice, is it, sociopath? And wants to put on 1997 Tony Schiavone for calling the Battle of the Luchas tonight. Rico is putting over the labours of Jericho storyline. You thought it was just going to be Jericho taking on the Pinnacle in a series of matches, but after Nick Gage and Juventud Guerrera were announced as opponents, I could go anywhere. It's rare for the old wrestling these days. And he wants to say Barry Bray Wyatt being let down by WWE. It's one of those what-if moments. I wonder what Bray's career would have looked like now if he'd been booked to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania 31. No point looking back for too long, he says, but, you know, I'm keen to see how Bray gets on now elsewhere with it. WWE chains off, especially considering how highly his creative mind is spoken of. Thanks, Rico. Kev wants to put on Daniel Bryan. He would be the best AEW signing by a mile. He obviously wants to work in Japan, and if AEW allows to do that, while also having the financial safety net, still working in the USA if he can't travel all the time, fair play to him. And Steve wants to put over the shock of Dark Order losing the 10-man tag match against the Elite, leaving Hangman Page unable to challenge Omega for the title. A really surprising and bold booking decision by AEW, and one I really like. It was a surprise. And he wants to bury Goldberg. Just please get him to fuck WWE. What's worse, they seem to be using his son and all that with Dominic and Rey Mysterio. Fuck off. So Steve's unhappy with that. But listen, it's an exciting time to be watching wrestling, I think, because there's a lot of stories, a lot of things going on. And we do have to say Ric Flair, of course, just broke yesterday. Ric Flair has been released by the WWE, having asked for his release. So hoping for another run for Ric. It'll be good to see another run for Ric, maybe in WrestleZone. in would be good. Would you wrestle Ric Flair?
Oh, I'd love to wrestle Ric Flair. Remember Doug done it in 2012? Doug wrestled
Ric. That's right.
Wembley, aye. But I think he won't like me saying this. Doug won't like me saying this, but I'm sure I can Flair buried him in a shoot interview about it. I don't know, something rang. I say no more. But, man, of course you'd love to wrestle some like Ric Flair on it. It'd be tremendous. But I would imagine, it's a weird one, isn't it? Is he going to be going out to manage Andrade?
I don't know what he's going to do. I don't think he'll go to AEW, right? I don't think. Here's what I think. Cool. I've got a feeling, right, that Ric Flair just wants to weigh up his options about where he could pop up next and stuff like that, right? But I think the one thing that everybody who is a wrestling fan wants to see is Ric Flair on NWA programming in that wee studio behind the podium, cutting one promo one last time.
Yep, that's a great shout, mate.
We'd love to see that. We'd love to see that in that studio. Make it happen, Billy. I'm going to put a shout out to Billy Corgan right now. Open the checkbook and make that moment happen. That's something you need to do for all wrestling fans. And please, I am going to ask our listeners of Wrestling Daft now, cut out this bit of audio from this show or this bit of video from this show and please tweet it, send it, however you can, to Billy Corgan and to NWA, right? Please open the checkbook for the sake of wrestling fans everywhere and get Ric Flair behind an NWA podium one last time for one last promo. Let's hear him talk about the big gold belt one last time. I think he would want it. We want it. Please, Billy, as a wrestling fan, I ask you, please make it happen. It's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Come on and talk wrestling, talk nonsense, talk whatever you want. If you're running this week, we welcome the one and only, nobody like him, Stephen.
How about me, lads?
Hold on, I never even said your surname. You need to slow down, mate.
Sorry.
Take a breath. How do we say your surname, by the way?
It's Roach, pronounced the same as Coach.
Stephen, the Coach Roach. Tell us about your photography business, mate.
Well, I do it just recreationally. Can't pronounce that properly.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one to say, by the way.
I know, I just stopped being a smart ass and just use normal words. I take photos, mate. That's all it is.
Hold on, Stephen.
That's all it is.
See, whenever a photographer says to me, he just takes photos recreationally, right? I always think.
I walked in this one.
That's how you say it, right? I always think he's one of the guys that's messaging lassies on Facebook and going, do you need photos for your portfolio? What are you laughing for?
You've sussed me out, Rob.
Steve, I've got a question, man, right? So I'm getting married in a couple of years, right?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And
do you need a photographer for it, by the way?
Well, here's a crack, man. It's like, so I've tried to get a saxophone player and I used like my Grado email and all that, and he was giving it, the guy was like, I'd love to do it, stuff like that, whatever. I've not actually completely booked him yet, but Stephanie's been like trying to get the photographer and the video guy and all this kind of care on, and I'm like, I wonder if I should be like, I know hundreds of videographers, camera guys through the wrestling and stuff like that, and it's dear, mate, it's dear. Oh, it's like £1,600.
Aye.
But
the thing is, right,
you can't only explain it.
This is the thing, right, for a wee upstart like me, it's even more frustrating, because even though somebody that's pricing it, it's £1,600. A bride on the biggest day of her life, she's going to pick up the guy that's more expensive. If she's serious about it, she's going to go with the guy that's got all the major kit with the backdrops and the softbox and the wee assistant student photographer over a guy like me who's going to charge, what, 400 at best? Who's just
for disposables.
So, Stephen, how about yourself? Are you married yourself or anything? Or?
No, but I'm in a relationship. I just actually started living with my girlfriend.
Yes.
Nice. So we're getting there, I'll say, because I'm pretty much every mate now I've got, so da.
Feel pressured?
I'm getting a lot now, right? When you're going to pop the question.
Right. What age
are you? 33.
All right, you're same age as me. I get it.
Mate, you're a young looking 33.
You don't look 33, mate. I was going to say maybe about 24, 25.
Aye, I was thinking mid-20s, actually.
Can I tell you what happened to me? My wife said to me, I've got a date in my head, right? If you've not asked me by that date, you've had it.
Really?
That's what happened to me. I'll listen.
The date was 10th of January, 2040.
See, you don't know when the date was going to be, though. Yeah. So it's like immediately. She was probably just bullshitting me. Like,
John, wait. How long had you been gone out with your missus before you got engaged?
3 years.
Right. Well, that's not too bad. Oh. It's like, have you had a long-term relationship before that, Stephen?
Not really, no.
No, it's just because, you know, you get a lot, I think you get a lot of relationships when you were at the school or you've just left the school, and you see these couples that have been going at each other for like 10, 11, 12 years. I always think that doesn't work. I'm only saying that speaking for experience because it didn't work for me, but I don't know, I feel as if that's a kind of, I wasn't the only one.
I was always a bit of a loner as well, so.
A loner and a photographer.
Yeah, I know. I'm not putting myself in a great light here, am I?
I'm kidding. I'm bumming you up.
Nah, that's fine, mate. When I met my girlfriend, I wasn't actually looking for a relationship. She wasn't either. Believe it or not, Grado, you've actually met her.
All right.
Because there's a story I was wanting to share.
Right.
2 years ago.
Here we go. This is all right. I'm not going to end up cancelled or anything.
No. It's safe, I promise. It's me. Looking at it. We went out to Florida in June 2019 and we saw you at the bar and I came up.
Was it going to Benidorm and Andy Gorham was there?
Yes. this is a funny bit.
Right.
I didn't realise it was Andy Gorham. I actually thought it was your dad. I've asked to get a photo with you. I've asked to get a photo with you, and he's got in with me. And it's not till after my girlfriend showed me, and I've shat myself. And I'm going, oh my God, if my dad sees this, he's going to go ballistic because Andy Gorham is Satan in our house.
It's so funny. That's brilliant. Amazing. So you didn't realise it was Gorham until you looked at the camera later on. That's brilliant, man.
All my Rangers supporting mates are lit. We're going to get you utterly pish one night until you pass out. We're going to get your phone and we're going to dig out that photo and see when it is your stag do, your wedding, whatever. That's getting blown up 10 by 10.
You know what the best thing about that is how Andy Gorham never got out the photo. He just assumed that, you know what I mean? Can we get a picture and Gorham's like, aye, fuck it, bar in, we'll next day. That's brilliant. I love that, mate.
Oh, man.
That's a cracking story, man.
What a keeper he was, by the way. Did you ever see him play football?
He broke my heart many times in my childhood. And yours, Rob.
You're the same age as me, Stephen, so you're right. The nine in a row years and stuff like that. The saves against with Big Pierre and stuff like that. He was, a great goalie, man.
Is he a good storyteller, Grado?
He's quite funny, man. He's quite funny. I mean, he's been doing it for like 20 odd years now when you think about it, all the stories at the dinners. I mean, I've heard them all about umpteen times.
Aye. But
he's funny.
Does he tell?
I wasn't actually with Andy Gorham, we weren't gone anywhere. He was gone somewhere in Wales or something like that, and I was going to Benidorm. We just met for a pint in the airport.
Oh, man. I would love to meet Ali McCoist in an airport.
The man.
And then the plane would get delayed and it would be all that carry on when it would be like, oh, we need to stay here all night and but they're getting us a hotel and stuff, and then it's like the next thing.
Go for a drink.
Aye, we'll have a wee drink, and then you might as well fucking share the same room. It's daft if we go to fucking different rooms and all that, you know what I mean? He's in, and you'd be like, well, I'm not letting fucking Ali McCoist, a football legend, sleep on the flare. You know what I mean? You just come in beside me, Ali. You know what I mean? I'm sure you visualise that yourself. So what are you into wrestling-wise, Stephen?
I'm kind of like both of yous now. I don't really watch a lot of wrestling anymore week to week.
I love this, how somebody comes on this wrestling podcast and they're like, I'm kind of like used to, I don't really watch wrestling.
It's true, babies. But
Wrestling Daft, it's called fucking Wrestling Daft.
I can watch is that.
It's like, well, I did watch A-Dub, but I didn't want to come out and just immediately look like the A-Dub mark because...
Well, let's hear you, Stephen. There's only one Tony Khan. One Tony Khan.
He's a man. I don't want to just come on and be the A-Dub mark because A-Dub is the cool thing right now, but it's going to get to a point where it gets too cool and then we start getting a bit fed up with it. It happened with NXT and it happened with TNA back in the day where it just you start getting a bit sick of it. And I've already got a sick feeling that's starting to happen. I think when Rampage starts.
I think you might be taking that too far. I think you're overthinking it. But see, the thing is with that, it's a pure wrestling fan thing to say, isn't it? Like, you don't want to let yourself enjoy something because your mate ends up being too cool. Like, the way you just come on here and you were feared to say that you like DEW, like, why should it matter? It's the wrestling, isn't it?
Just enjoy your wrestling. All this piss that's happening with. It's getting really nasty now with the rumours that Punk and Daniel are saying. It's getting really bitter now with the fans. It's getting like Celtic Rangers.
it's getting like that. I see Twitter, man. It's Brit like. It's slagging between WWE and AEW fans now. It's brutal.
I love it, man. Keep it coming.
But I mean, it's no football. Like, you don't. You try to tell me folk watch AEW and they hate WWE and you know WWE. I don't buy that.
It's the IWC, Grado. It's why I avoid all the forms and that now because some of the piss you see is disgusting.
You made me laugh, even honestly.
AEW, right? It's a good sign for AEW, this because probably you're only doing it with TNA. TNA fans and WWE fans were only going at each other, hammer and tongs, but it's fucking happening this time. Well, the WWE fans are all going like that. Fucking CM Punk was rotten anyway.
Right.
They're all saying, you know what I mean? I saw a WWE fan saying the other day, Daniel Bryan wasn't that good anyway. Right. I saw that part of it happening to me.
But you know what? There's something funny about Stephen. I love your pure. Where is Efe Glasgow?
Greenock, but I now live in Glasgow.
It's getting really disgusting, man, on the internet. I love it, man. I love that. That's brilliant.
Some of it is banter, but there is some shite I'm seeing out there, like Daniel Bryan's like, you're a traitor, like, fuck off. He's 11 years he's put in, busting his own neck for your entertainment, you ungrateful prick. I'm becoming toxic, look at me now, listen.
What's your feeling about the Bray Wyatt situation?
I'm like you, Rabbit. WWE didn't know what to do. It was too good. See, when something really good happens...
Don't say you're like me, because I've never at any point said it's too good.
No, well, I think the fans were the problem as well, because when it started, from the very first promo, we're all saying, yes, this is the thing we've been waiting for from years. Somebody that's had the balls to be creative, something new, and WWE are properly backing it. But then, as soon as the Seth Rollins feud happened with the Hell in a Cell match, it just nosedived. And then they tried to rescue it by putting the belt on him, then having the Cena feud kind of brought him back, the whole, what was that, the Firefly Funhouse thing at WrestleMania.
Aye.
That was really cool. That was a really cool production, like something new. But then they set him up with Randy Orton, and they're not going to bury Randy Orton to save the Fiend.
No chance. So and there's been a lot of people...
Have you got the new John Cena t-shirt on?
Fuck, I didn't know I had this.
I didn't even know I had it.
I'm like, shit. I think it's not a new one. I think it was the one he wore at the
Firefly Funhouse.
Aye.
Because a lot of people are having a pop at Alexa Bliss and all that as well. They're saying like, oh, you know, they've gave his gimmick to her and all that. Like, she extended the lifespan of that character for a wee bit. Like, they had to do something. She was helping him. He wasn't helping her at that point, you know what I mean? I don't know what to say, but listen, Grado, maybe you can come on this. You're the pro wrestler, right? You can come in on this.
What?
Is it just me or whatever Bray Wyatt is coming up with, character-wise, for his in-ring persona, it doesn't translate to good matches. I can honestly count the good matches that Bray Wyatt's had in one horn. Genuinely, one horn.
Well, some people don't mean...
And I need to be honest. See,
what is a good match?
An exciting match, something that delivers, something that I just kind of feel that like I've watched Bray Wyatt matches a lot of times and I've just kind of thought, wasn't much cop. You know what I mean?
I don't remember any good matches as The Fiend. I don't really count the Firefly Funhouse as one. And the whole red light stuff was really annoying. That didn't help.
He had many good matches as The Fiend. He had some with the Wyatt family against the Shield and all that, right? That was some of them.
The six mans were brilliant that they had then.
But still, I would say I can count on one horn good matches, and he was in prime spots and stuff like that. And I kind of think to myself sometimes, is it really that much a surprise he's been released when he's, you can count his good matches in one horn, and he's been way up at the top of the card?
What is a good match? I mean, I probably had about, I can probably count the number of times in the one horn when I've had a good match, and I'm being on, being serious in terms of a big, at a high level. What's a good match? Entertainment.
Can I ask you something?
Aye.
Do you either of you ever see an occasion where wrestling's going to get back to the Attitude Era?
No. Nah. Well, I mean, certainly no WWE, because I don't think they could use, I don't think they could lose the sponsors in it. Is that not the crack?
That's what I think. WWE makes money despite itself.
But it's a sign of the times as well. It's a sign of the times. You know,
here's
you
what
can't...
I would say to you, right? Just last week, a guy was in the main event of a wrestling telly program, with pulling a pizza cutter across a guy's forehead, and then it cut to a Domino's advert, and it was fucking hilarious. And if that isn't us in the area of the Attitude Era, then I don't know what is.
Right. Then is the big is it the fallout? No, for that though, that the Domino's complained to TNT and they lost money.
I don't think AEW will care. They'll find another sponsor. Another sponsor. There's no way that was a mistake or an accident.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them. Man. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them though. If there is some sort of deal with some other pizza mob, somebody coming out tomorrow with a Papa John's T-shirt or something like that. But the thing,
Miro boys like having a flexible wife partner and all that. It's like this is all actually the era type stuff. You know what I mean? It's so, and this is you know why Tony Khan is such a genius.
Well, all right. Hey, what's been up to, Stephen?
Well,
if the ice cream van went the new right, and you went to the ice cream van, what would you get?
Double cone with mint sprinkles.
I'd probably get a 99. I'd get a bit of chocolate and a 10p mixture.
I'd get a Turkish delight and a packet of Space Raiders.
What'd you get, John?
An oyster. I like an oyster.
Ooh. Oh, I love a double nugget, maybe.
I love a double nugget, mate.
Double nugget. Was it the chocolate and the cream? The chocolate with the cream at the bottom, mate?
It's kind of like a big filled out wafer with all the
wafer. With the cream.
Chocolate in the middle.
Aye, beautiful.
But see, the hang is a pizza cutter. You can have like a fucking pizza. What a pizza cutter, never mind somebody's heat.
It's very true. See, finding a good pizza cutter. Like, we have struggled for years to find a good pizza cutter because they're nearly usually shite. And then we found one that was brilliant. So, I mean, they really must have found a good pizza cutter because they are, like you say, they're normally shite pizza cutters.
No, it was a work though, John.
I used the wee tool.
They didn't need it. It was a blunt pizza cutter. And what was Jericho. There's a thing called blading, John, right?
Wait, so do you think it was
Jericho,
a work?
No, let me explain it, John. Let me explain it. There's a thing called blading, right?
Yes.
And Jericho cut himself and started bleeding. And then they'd switched the pizza cutter with a blunt pizza cutter and they used that. To do it. Now, the mistake you're making is you're using the fucking work pizza cutter to try and cut your pizzas.
Right.
You should be the shoot one. You need to blade your pizza.
Blade the pizza, that's right. Did you just say, Stephen, that you use a trowel to cut your pizza?
Aye, see the wee triangle trowel you used to actually get out a slice of pizza?
Aye.
I use that.
All right.
It means you're also not trying to keep the plate still, you're keeping your other hand clean as well, not getting it greasy, so you just cut the side of it, pick up.
Why do you need your other hand to be clean? What are you doing with your other hand when you're cutting your pizza?
Taking photos. doing a selfie on my Instagram. This is my life hack on a pizza.
Stephen. Stephen, can I ask you a question?
What's up?
Do you feel like a commentator with that headset on?
A wee bit. This is why I like with it, and I'm looking at myself. I look like a young JR here. WWE Dynamite.
Stephen, I don't want to let you go. We want to just keep you talking. Come on again. Come on again at some point.
I'd love to, lads, and I'm I'm a dedicated patron. I'm a big fan of what you both do. And Greg also, all the best for when the baby arrives.
Oh, thanks very much, Stephen. I'm going
to tell you right now, mate. Right, I'll tell you right now. See if we do, when, no if, but when we do our first live Wrestling Daft event, yes. Right, we'll book you to take the 40s. Right?
Oh, wagon, that's a great idea.
Yes, thank you very much.
That's a great idea.
Right? So, I would love that.
So you make sure we don't forget that, right? When we announce that, remember, it gives a shout.
We'll book David you. Wilson will be listening to us right now, even if he's not.
M's the breaks. Right. Cheers, Stephen. Speak soon.
Cheers, lads.
Stephen, thank
all
you.
All the best.
Pal, bye-bye.
Thank you.
You just made the list!
Now it's time for the list of Wrestling Daft. Oh my God, this is going to take ages. The dictionary definition of a list is a number of connected items or names written or printed consecutively, typically one below the other. And in this case, we are going to defile the idea of a list by turning to Grado and asking him about the best TNA pay-per-views. It was voted for by the patrons... 72% of them voted for best TNA pay-per-views for the top three list. I'm not going to do my top three list because, you know, it's TNA. This is Grado's specialist subject. He is doing his thing. Grado, tell us, there is a lot of people out there who probably maybe don't know as much about TNA as you do. What are the top three?
Okay. Number three. Slammiversary 2016. Took place at June 12th in the Impact Zone in Florida. The card was Dark Match, Mandrews defeated somebody. We had Lashley defeat Drew Galloway for the TNA World Heavyweight title. That was the main event. We had Eli Drake defeating Bram, EC3 defeating Mike Bennett, and Grado and Mahabali Shira versus the Tribunal, Baron Dax and Basil Baraka.
Were you happy with that match?
It got voted a dud by Dave Meltzer.
Were you happy with it? Fuck Dave Meltzer.
Well, I was just
cut out,
you know,
this bit of audio and share it. Fuck Dave Meltzer. Get on, Grado.
Slammiversary was meant the world to me because it was one of the first. I don't know what actually came first. Did Slammiversary come first or did Bound for Glory? Either way, it was such a tremendous occasion. I was gutted the following year. I was meant to be involved in the Scott Steiner and Eli Drake versus Scott Steiner and JB versus Josh Matthews and Eli Drake. Was gutted to miss that. So that was, that's three.
Okay, two. Number three. I'll get it, choice.
Number two. Bound for Glory 2016. This was held at the Impact Zone in Florida on October the 12th. The biggest show of the year. Main event included, it was a tournament. Ethan Carter pinned Mike Bennett. There was Eddie Edwards versus Aaron Rex, who was, what did you call him in WWE again? Damien Sandow.
Yep.
We had Lashley versus EC3. And we also had the annual Bound for Glory gauntlet, which I appeared for a total number of seconds, 4 seconds. 4 seconds. I was eliminated by Rockstar Spud. And again, being involved in Bound for Glory, known through all the years. I think the first one was in 2004, 2005. You know, there was rumours that Hogan was going to be there one time. There was Macho Man Randy Savage turned up at Bound for Glory. It was the WrestleMania of TNA.
It must have been fun working and travelling with Spud.
Spud's a man, eh? Talks like fuck, but I love him. Knows everything about wrestling. Knows everything. Knows absolutely everything. I've spoken about that before. He can tell you every title change that's ever happened since fucking 1942. Or that Eric Hackenschmidt push and all that. He knows all that stuff. Yep. Anyway, number one. TNA One Night Only 2016. This was held in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at the Sands Event Centre. Main event, Beer Money Returned. That was a good one because the, you know, James Storm had his cup of coffee in NXT and he returned Beer Money versus Eric Young and Bram. There was American Wolves defeated Kurt Angle and Drew Galloway. We had Awesome Kong wrestle. But then we also had Abyss versus Grado in a Monsters Ball match, which was the one before. This was the given the idea to date at Bound for Glory the following year. Abyss defeats Grado in 9 minutes 10 seconds. Dave Meltzer rates this dud.
What was the highest scoring match that you had, Alf Meltzer?
Dud.
Have you never had better than a dud, Alf?
No, because he's only ever done like three of them, I think, and every one of them have been duds.
Yeah, I noticed there was a there was a trend in those, the best TNA pay-per-views of all time. Now, TNA's been going as a company now for 20-odd years. Yeah, 20-odd years, probably about that, isn't it? I noticed that all of your favourite pay-per-views revolved around 2016. Is there any reason for that? Or
that's just when I was right into it, mate.
Right, okay, right, okay. Right. Just asking, just asking. Are you still looking for that Meltzer review, yeah?
There was a thing that you could be able to type that. I'm sure somebody, Punch Jello, will probably be able to get this for me. You know what I mean?
By the listeners, do the homework, Grado. If you can find out there a Dave Meltzer good review of a Grado match, please send it in.
You want to find it. And he tries to say I'm his biggest, or at least I was his biggest guilty pleasure. So there you have it. But anyway, let's look to the fans. I'll do this so you don't need to do it, Rab. We've got John, Lockdown 2006, Final Resolution 2008, and Destination X 2009. I'm sure I had Lockdown 2006 on DVD. Nice to Wrestle says, Sacrifice 2007 was better than I remember. I really enjoyed this year's Slammiversary. If we're counting shows under the Impact name, well, of course we are. Yep, you better believe it, boy. Now, here's one. Mr. Kemp says, Victory Road 2011, when Jeff Hardy... Oh, my God. I don't even really want to read this, but you know what happened. Aye. It's quite a funny story, but I feel bad for writing. I feel bad for saying what actually happened that night. Bronze Cello, he says his favourite TNA pay-per-view was No Surrender, 2011.
You like that one, Grado? Yeah.
He wrote, I was there, had a meet and greet with Kurt Angle in the afternoon. It was amazing. Absolutely loved the Impact Zone. Had a few events there. See, we just brought lots of smiles to lots of faces. Bobby Roode won the Bound for Glory series. Angle and Sting versus Anderson in an underrated main event. And then we had Austin Aries versus Kendrick, leading to Austin being the longest reigning champ. Jose McNaldo says, Lockdown 2008, Samoa Joe defeating Angle in a great match to capture his first world title with him. Actually, see, honest to you, what was the pay-per-view where Joe defeated Angle for the first time, or Angle defeated Joe? What show was that? Because that was a fucking minted show. In 2006, that was superb. I don't know if it was Genesis, or at least was it Genesis? What am I? I remember watching that live on a stream. Wow, memories, too good. Then we've also got here. Scott says again, No Surrender. He says never seen it, but just a big Rangers fan. No Surrender 2005 is unreal though. Joe versus Sabin, AJ versus X-Pac. I'm sure Rhino debuted in Abyss versus Raven in a hardcore match for the title. Karate Warrior 2 says the best TNA pay-per-views has anything with a passionate intro from the late Barry Scott. Man, you're bang on. You felt the pay-per-view was a big deal with that deep voice opening the show. That was, I remember when he died as well, they done a big tribute for his voice. It was brilliant. TNA. Remember that? TNA.
Barry Scott,
the
guy for the Silver Bang adverts, no?
No.
He had a good voice as well.
Do you know there's three Barry Scotts? There's Barry Scott for Celtic Bang, there's Barry Scott from the voiceovers, and there's also Barry Scott, who I know that's a big guy that puts money into Rangers. He's a Singapore businessman. Anyway, that resounds that up, and thank you very much for taking part in TNA Top Pay-Per-Views.
Have you got a suggestion for next week to put up? I put this up against the best ECW champions, which I thought you would like as well, Grado. So we'll put the best ECW champions back up. What are you putting it against for next week?
Put it against the best referee.
The best referee, right, okay. Best referees against best ECW champions. That's it. You can vote on Patreon. There you go.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Rabbit story.
We're still doing these fucking stupid stories.
It's time for the part of the show we play Let's
John's
Pretend.
Face just then.
As we pretend to be wrestlers on the way back to the show in a pretend car, but telling your stories. Let's open the pretend door, get in the pretend car.
Let's open the pretend door and see what happens.
What a match tonight, Grado.
Aye. See you nearly get banned on Twitter.
Aye, mate. Aye.
For slagging Paddington Bear.
Aye. And I'll tell you what. See some of the part between the WWE and AEW fans these days. It's brutal, mate.
It's toxic.
You can hear it. You can hear it in the crowd when you're
the there.
Anyway, you know, I want to relate a wee story to you, mate.
No.
When I was in nursery, right? only kidding on. Sick, I can't believe somebody sent in a story and they made that wee joke at the start, right? Anyway, as I mentioned, right, I drive long distances, right?
Oh, a driver.
I drive long distances. Now, very recently, right, last month or so, I'm talking about Grado. One particular drive was in the region of 500 miles around the northwest of Scotland, right?
Right.
Now, the company I work for uses very specific fuel cards. Unfortunately, there are no garages that it works at after a certain point in this route, you know what I mean, running northwest. Right. Now, this meant that on one occasion, Grado, I ended up running a little low in fuel around the Dunoon area, you know.
Oh, wow.
I decided I would stick a tenner on the tank at one of the random petrol stations, which would be enough to get me back to the BP at Balloch.
All right.
Okay. Swing a wee left here, hold on. Right, so I carefully get the fuel bang on 10 buckets, right? And I head in to buy. Now, after waiting in the queue, I reach the front and I advise my pump number. Right, the number of my pump, right? Now, the young man, perhaps in his mid-20s, right? He rings it up and he says, "That's just 10. No. No. If you haven't clicked on to where my mind immediately went, I'm disappointed. For anybody who listens to Wrestling Daft, I'm sure it will immediately make them think of one thing, as it did for me. I immediately became excited. I don't have any wrestling fan pals and consequently don't know anybody else that listens to this podcast, despite my best efforts. This was a cool moment. Now, after a couple of seconds of staring at him, I looked him dead in the eyes with a smile on my face, right? That he obviously couldn't even see, because I had my mask on, right? So all he could see with my mask was my eyes getting wider. And I say, "Hornswoggle." A half-delighted, half-inquisitive tone. Disaster. He looks at me for what feels like 10 minutes, having clearly any idea what I'm talking about. Now, most people would cut their losses at this point. Guy clearly has no fucking idea what a hornswoggle is. Doesn't he sound entirely no-sexual in the nature of a wrestling fan, you know? Goes a hornswoggle, right? I am not most people. I'm overtaken by a stubborn refusal to believe it. Anybody would say, "That's just 10. Without having heard that story, I've never heard anybody try to charge me in such a manner. I mean, seriously, nobody fucking says, "That's just 10. So I doubled in. I plaster an even stupider smile on my face, which he still can't fucking see, so now I'm staring at him with eyes so wide it'd make Samuel L. Jackson look tired, right? Almost trying to convince him that he simply didn't hear me, and I say, "Hornswoggle." Again, but slightly louder and slower. Nothing. Now, after a couple of seconds, he, sounding like Grado talking to Kikataro, hits me with a classic speaking to a foreigner pattern and raises all 10 fingers and slowly and loudly enunciates, £10, please. Honour my tenner, get my receipt and leave as quickly as I can. Get back to the van and start laughing as I assess how fucking weird it must have been for this lad to have this weirdo walk in saying one random word. The non-wrestling fan sounds like I'm trying to put a fucking curse on him. And that's the story of why I'll never be back to a random garage in Dunoon.
Who said that, Anne?
That was from Graham Young, boys. He actually sent a really nice email. It says, "Just wanted to drop you a quick email to say how thankful I am for your podcast. Don't want to bore you with the details, but your podcast really helps with my mental health. And based on the young lad the other week, it's helping others too. Hope you're all very proud of what you're doing." There you go. Isn't that nice?
Oh, mate, Graham, you're some boy, man. That's
probably more important than you realise. He said, does a lot of long distance driving, as you say, and he's given us our top three favourite moments from Wrestling Daft. Do you want to hear them?
Of course, yes, I want to hear them.
Number three, "Hello Granny." Rab doing his voice is simply amazing. If you could do that for Graham, Rab, that would be very appreciated.
"Hello Granny."
Number two, he says, "Hope this doesn't sound terrible. However, when Grado recently screamed out on the podcast that Keith Chegwin died in the same day as his mum, I lost my fucking shit." And number one on Graham's favourite moments of Wrestling Daft is Rab's story of being locked in the toilet. I mean, fuck my life, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Worst part about it is the exact way he says, hiya to the wee boy.
What's the best?
It's almost exactly the same way my mum answers the phone to me, so now I can't call her without putting myself in the phone. Thank you very much, Graham.
Well, Graham, listen, that was mate. The funniest road story I think we've ever been sent in.
I was saying
Hornswaggle there, by the way, just for comic effect, just to get an extra wee buzz off it. But there wasn't any, it was just a great story, man. That's what we're talking about. That was a funny story for a funny guy.
Mate, that's pure, honestly, man, I come with this podcast where we buzz sometimes, man, because it is, I like this, just getting all together, talking about wrestling, folk getting chipping in, you know, we had Steve the photographer coming on and stuff like that, man, it's just good fun, it's easy to do, man.
Can we get
just talking about wrestling.
Can we get him his listener of the week as well?
Aye, mate, of course.
Yeah, your listener of the week, definitely.
100% listener of the week, won that title, nae bother at all. Right, so, any more road stories that you have, take that as inspiration, man. How funny that was. Just get it into us. We want to hear them. And all you have to do is drop us a DM on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on a Facebook page. Get us there. So that's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review and subscribe on Apple or get us in wherever you get your podcasts. Mind for more content, get on the patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Just like our man Stevie that came on a run-in. It's a community, boys. Let's get involved. Yeah, and girls. When I say boys, I mean boys and girls. And why not check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Remember, Margaret Erefiend t-shirt. This is the last run, so it's a collector's item. Collector's going to go for a fortune. We want to get that before the cease and desist comes in for Bray Wyatt. Thank you so much for listening, Grado.
We really need to do a live show now that these restrictions are. We need to do something, man.
The restrictions are going away. So, like, John, let's get a live. Let's put it out to the punters. Let's put out.
Where do you think we could get to go, Hunter? Do you think we could get a Hunter?
I think we could get a couple of Hunter. Maybe do like a. We could do like a disco. We could do a quiz, and then we could do the podcast live. Like
a disco.
A disco. No, but like wrestling disco. Like a wrestling.
A wrestling disco.
A wrestling disco. Like a put disco. Wrestling themes in that. Like DJ and wrestling themes in that.
Would you put on the disco first?
Well, I don't know. We could do
it. No, it'd be the show at the end of the disco.
At the end, you do. I think you start off with maybe like a quiz before the podcast, and then you do the podcast, record that live. Maybe get some guests down. Maybe get some big guests on to do it live run-ins. Then we could have a disco with like wrestling themes at the end. And everyone gets drunk and dances to Mr. Perfect's theme.
Mate. Sounds brilliant, to be fair.
Sounds good,
mate. Something to do with wrestling music and all that, because the punters, we love doing that.
Can we call it a club night, though, and not a disco?
We'll call it a wrestling club night.
Let's put it out to the punters and see if there'll be an appetite for that. Is it time, do you think, for wrestling that?
Are you getting the disco?
I'm just thinking about what I would play the disco.
DJing already. He's already DJing.
I thought we'd love it, man.
It'd be a great night.
Well, do you know what? Let's put out that next week. What should we do at a live show?
Yeah, let's think about it. Let us know what you think, punters. Let us know what you think about that. Grado, it's been great to be back day and away. You've been a couple of weeks lay off with work and stuff like that. But we're back together. The boys are back in town. It's been great, Grado.
It's your show!
Up the road now, mate.
Up the road! Audio Frontier.